As you see on the overhead, Matthew 11 is our focused scripture. And I remember in Bible college, they asked us for a life verse. And at that point, I wasn't sure, so I just picked one. But probably in the last 10 years, this has been my life verse. This has been the foundation of how I think. And of course, it's all of Scripture, but it just hangs on this wonderful passage and illustration, and there's so much that we can get into. I think there would be a lecture series, could be a lecture series on this for weeks, but I'm going to give just some thoughts on this passage of how it's meant or how it's been in my life impactful. And we're starting in verse 28. Actually, we'll start in 25 to give some context. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. And all things have been entrusted to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Just this past week, I've had a lot of opportunity to meditate on this passage. Meditate not just in my time with the Lord in the morning, in solitude and silence, but just in the everyday of life. This passage kept on coming back, and it's like, okay, Lord, how do we apply that now? What is it? What does love look like? What does your yoke look like right now in my life? We needed to pack up for Europe. We were in Canada. We're heading on our way to Latvia. And Laura got sick. She is still a little under the weather. There were many things that happened. The unexpected, big and small, and it was tiring. I was weary. I was like, Lord, okay, you're giving me a live example, another fresh example of what it is to experience this passage, to experience that your burden is light and easy, to experience that I can come to you. But I'm going to ask you, how are you? What is going on in your life as you reflect on these days, these hours, these possible weeks? Do you feel tired? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel heavy, burdened? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel stressed? Do you feel shame? And you're burdened with that, or guilt because of sin. It doesn't really matter what you are burdened with. The invitation is the same. Jesus gives that invitation, come. Come to me. Wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with, now is the time. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus is here. He has that invitation, not only 2,000 years ago for the people he was speaking to, but throughout every generation, and it is fresh today. He is here by his Spirit, inviting you to come to him. And what does Jesus promise? Rest. And not just any rest, but soul rest. The kind of rest that we long for. Relief from internal agitation, from internal spinning. Rest to be settled in your soul. I was going to have Laura come, but she's off in Sunday school, and she was going to wear a kind of a heavy backpack, so I think she's happy that she doesn't need to do that. So just imagine, because we're all like little children, especially in God's eyes, especially in Jesus' eyes. Little Laura, about the age of Reva. So you imagine Reva. Most of you know who she is. She's burdened. She's heavy laden with all kinds of stuff. And Jesus says, come. You know, this is the only passage in the Bible, actually in the Gospels, where Jesus describes his heart, like his deep innermost conviction, his default attitude, that's the heart. And Jesus describes his heart in a very interesting way. He says, I am gentle and lowly, or humble and lowly. That is his heart for us. In Psalms 34:18, the Lord says, I am near to those who are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. See, our Father and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they say that their heart towards us is lowly. What does that mean? Accessible. He comes down to our level and he says, come, I'm with you. I'm not going to push you aside. I'm at your level. And if Laura was here, I would just, you know, put my arm around her and say, you've come home. You've come home. This is our God. This is our Jesus. He kneels before us. He washes our feet. No shaming or distance attitude, but coming alongside us in our time of need. It's safe to come to Jesus. When you are bone tired or you're anxious or overwhelmed, at those moments, he's accessible and ready to love. And to love not only you, but to love through you. And we'll talk more about that. Because embedded in this invitation to come to Jesus is the invitation to take his yoke. So most of you probably know what a yoke is, but I'll just remind you. A yoke is a piece of wood that's specially shaped to harness a couple of horses or a couple of oxes in order for them to accomplish a task, an important task. Whether it's tilling and seeding the land or carrying something valuable, it is to accomplish or transfer something valuable from one place to another or gather the harvest. In Jesus' day, the yoke became a metaphor for carrying out some valuable task, whatever it is. And the metaphor was often used in conjunction with the law. So the teachers of the law would talk about the yoke of the law, or the yoke of the Torah, which was the Old Testament, the first five books. And the expectation to carry out all the commands of the Torah, that was part of this yoke. But it was often mixed with extra requirements of the teachers of the law. And Jesus had issue with that. But also, on top of that, there was the expectations of family, neighbors, society as a whole. And this contributed to a huge burden, heavy burden. Jesus uses this metaphor here of the yoke in a different way and in a similar way. In a similar way, in the sense that it is a means to accomplish a valuable task, a calling on our lives. But he defines this task, not the teachers of the law. And it's not fundamentally connected to the Torah or measuring up to the expectations of the law or of other people. But Jesus defines it. And how does he define this yoke? In short, he doesn't say here specifically what the yoke is or what it's connected to. But from all the other things Jesus says and how Paul and Peter and John also express it in the scriptures, I would say, in short, it is Jesus' love. Taking on Jesus' yoke is to be harnessed to Jesus and his love. To be loved and to love his way. This is reflected, like I said, in Christ's life and his teaching. He summed up all the law and the prophets. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. It's also reflected in the works of Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, all about it, describing the fruit of the Spirit or aspects of the Spirit's love. In Peter, he also talks about growing in our faith, putting aside the corruptions of this world, and growing in goodness and in faith and knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. Various aspects of his love. Also, I believe that this task, this calling that Jesus gave us, includes the Great Commission to make disciples and to do our part of the church's mandate to make disciples, whatever that is. And there are many ways. This reflects the glory of God as we live out his image and his life in the world. But that could sound like a huge burden. It could. I mean, okay, love God with everything, love your neighbor as yourself, sacrificial love, all that that means. Now, that can become a big burden as well. That's true. It is overwhelming, but for three facts. The first fact is that we were designed to carry this burden. Without Jesus' yoke, our soul will not find rest. This comes in a complex, or a unit, a group. So when a package, that's the word. Thank you, Deborah. She's my translator. So when we come to Christ with that, he automatically gives us a yoke. And we need that yoke. We become dysfunctional. If we don't have Jesus' yoke, we'll find a different burden to put on ourselves and live under. It's just who and what we were created. We deeply need Jesus' yoke. Second, Jesus tailors his calling and his task specifically for you. It's interesting here, when I started studying deeper into this passage, the word easy, my yoke is easy, in Greek means krestos. I'm sorry, it doesn't mean krestos. It is krestos in Greek. And krestos One of the main definitions of krestos is fitting, appropriate. It could also mean kind. Isn't that interesting? Kind, fitting, appropriate. Jesus' yoke is kind. It knows us. It fits us. It's appropriate to who we are, where we're at this time. It won't be too big or too small for this season in your life. It is fitted for you. His yoke is fitted. And ultimately and thirdly, this calling is his yoke, not ours. Ultimately, it is his yoke. Only because Jesus is together with us in the process and leading us, and under that yoke, can we say that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He is under carrying the greatest portion of that yoke. Remember, we're harnessed together with Jesus to accomplish this task, this calling of love. Remember Jesus' words? I am the vine, you are the branches. You cannot do anything without me. And that is so true. If we try to go our own way, we try to drag Jesus with us, it's not going to work. We need to go his way, his timing, because it is his yoke. So the question that I often hear from people is, what does God want me to do? And that's an appropriate question, but I think even a better question is, Lord, direct it to Jesus. Lord, what do you want to do in and through me and with me? Because we're together in this. It's not separated. In cooperation. For the last 2 weeks, before I mention that, in my relationship with the Lord for the last probably about 15 years, it's been more of a dynamic relationship where I ask questions and I search in the scriptures, but I'm also open to what he says just in everyday life. Like, what is your perspective on this, Lord? And I cycle through some questions, and it seems like these questions really help me in my relationship with Jesus to know that this is more than just, you know, a deistic God far away who's wound everything up and we have to do his will. But he is an intimate part, and he wants to communicate. And so some of the questions have been like, Lord, you know, who do you think, or what do you think of me? Like, what is your perspective of me? What do you want to know? What do you want me to know about myself and how you view me? And then the other question has been, Lord, what do you think about so-and-so? And it's usually about someone I'm struggling with. Like, what is your perspective on them? Another question has been, like, Lord, who are you? Like, you show me all this in your word, and I know it, but who do you want me to know, or what aspect do you want me to know about you today? And that has changed my thinking. Even if there's not a direct answer sometimes, just holding that question, God just slowly molds my thinking and reveals, you know, I want to emphasize this aspect of who I am in your life for this season. So one question I've been asking is, Lord, what does love look like today? So every difficulty, and when I realize that my heart and my, you know, I'm not doing well. I'm not in a good space. I'm anxious. I'm fearful. There's so much to do. I feel burdened. I start to hurry. Jesus, by the way, doesn't seem like he ever hurried. So it's like, okay, there's something wrong. Lord, what does love look like? What does love look like in this situation? And it just immediately changes my thinking. It's like, okay, we're in it together, Lord. You and I, what does love look like? Loving you, loving others, receiving your love, giving your love. How can I do that today? It's dynamic. The yoke is for today's task. It requires humility. We shouldn't take on more than what God gives. Sometimes our burdens is our burdens, you know. And then we just realize that and we say, Lord, forgive us. We give it to you. And we want to take on just what you give us. And it's a process. It doesn't come overnight. Don't worry or stress about the challenges of tomorrow. Matthew 6. The yoke is for a task for today. That's what it's for. Don't worry about all those stuff that's going to happen. And when we start worrying, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Give it to him. Get back with him under that yoke. Remember, we are not the center of the universe. Not everything is dependent upon us. God, who is unlimited, he uses many things, including us, to accomplish his will. But we are not God. So we just give him what we have, and he'll multiply in his due time and in his way. And sometimes that requires us to say no. So we come to Jesus, we take up his yoke, and the last part, we learn from Jesus. The word disciple means learner. It wasn't a religious term back in Jesus' day. It was just a normal word that meant a person who learns, who is in training, who's under the tutelage of a teacher or is in apprenticeship. Every day we receive training as disciples of Jesus. This is our identity. We are learners. And Jesus is the best, most fantastic teacher you have ever had. So think of a teacher that you liked, that you appreciated. Jesus is 100 times better in every way. Jesus is gentle and lowly. He won't yell at you when you fail or don't understand. He knows enough about you, which is everything, to know how to challenge you, which is good because we need to be challenged. We need to be stretched. You know, even psychologists know that if you give people too much learning, if they're stressed too much, well, they get overstressed, overwhelmed, depressed. But if they're under-challenged, then, of course, they get apathetic and also depressed. But Jesus knows the right amount and the right pace for us. We want to know everything now. We want to experience everything now. We want to grow now in every area. But Jesus knows. He's a trainer. He's like a physical therapist. He knows when to work on it. So we ask that question. Lord, what does love look like today in my life? Where do you want me to grow? What aspect of love do you want me to grow in? And then listen and observe. What is he bringing into your life? You know Romans 8, 28 and 29? You know that the Lord uses everything that comes into our life. He works all things out together for the goods of those who are called, who love God, who are called according to his purpose, in order to conform us to his image. Jesus uses the circumstances and encounters of our life to make us better disciples, better lovers of God and others. So the Holy Spirit sometimes, you know, gives you an idea. It gives you a thought. Recently, for me, it was be strong in the Lord in your weakness. That was what kept on coming up. And I'm like, what does that mean? I know scripturally, but how does that look? What does that look like in real life? And it was interesting because after I received that, and that just kept on coming up in the scriptures and just highlighted in various ways, then I got to experience a lot of weakness, a lot more than I have in a long time. And it was like, okay, God, it's on. Jesus, we're harnessed together. Let's go through this. Let's learn how to love in these new ways. Let's experience what it means to be strong in the Lord, but in my weakness. What does that mean? And we do this not only by ourselves, but in community. That's why you guys are here. That's why we're together. That's why the church is here, is also to be a training center so that when we go out that we can be better lovers of one another, but also in the world, to reflect Jesus. So I think we can go get Laura. debating whether to share one story. As you know, we've been in Latvia for 30 years, and we live in an apartment complex, and it's like living in a fishbowl. So my mom's been there a few times. So you go out, and there are lots of neighbors around and lots of kids because we have the largest playground in this town that we live in, which is great, right? Great. Connection with people, you know, missionary, you know, perfect. For me, I'm an introvert, and I'm a strong introvert, and we've appreciated getting to know our neighbors, but there are certain neighbors that just do not like us. They just do, and I can't figure out why. And there's a couple of ones that, like, they'll completely ignore us. Yeah, come on up, Laura. Oh, did your mom come? Okay, there she is. She's coming too. I was like, we're gonna do a little chase here. So it got harder and harder to live in this community. And then I found myself that every time I got out, would leave, it would be like, oh, I don't want to see anybody. I'm tired, you know. And then I would put my earplugs, not earplugs, but they were like earplugs, but earphones in, you know, to listen to some podcast or, and then it just became very evident from, it was very clear that God was telling me, I want to work on this area with you. You are burdened. I want you to be free in this area, to love your neighbors, especially those that are treating you like an enemy. So, you know, he just started very small. And this is our God. Again, he stretches us. It's uncomfortable. But he starts small. And so it was like, take those earbuds off. Every time you go out and you're running or you're walking or you're doing things, I want you to be aware. Just start praying for everybody around you. So that's how I started. I'm not going to go into where it ended, but we started there. And I'm still in process, you know. Instead of trying to avoid people, then God was like, okay, the next step, let's go up to people. People that you're avoiding or people that you're not sure of, just go up to them. Don't have to have anything, any agenda. Just go up to them and say hi. Again, small little steps, and you think, wow, you know, he should be way beyond that. But that's where we are. In different aspects of our life, it's like we are children, you know. We're maybe mature in some areas, but other areas we're just children. And it takes new circumstances and experiences and this dynamic relationship with the Lord to experience that. So Laura and Deborah and I would like to sing a song to end our time. This song has been an incredible blessing. This is Mama's mic, I think. Or maybe. And it's probably familiar to you. We're not professional singers either, but we do sing as a family often. And this song has carried us through so for the last probably, 2 years. And it's called The Blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. It has that phrase. But it also talks about, you know, the Lord's heart for us and for the world. And that's just to bless us. And not only to bless us, to bless the people around us and generations. You know, we were talking about generations. You know, there's been 3 generations of missionaries. And there are probably a few of you here that have multiple generations of people following the Lord. And that's what he wants. That's what God wants. And so no matter where you're at, if you're the first generation to trust him, he wants to bless you and to bless multiple generations after you. So, yeah, and you can sing anytime you want. We're going to start off in Latvian, just so you give you an idea of what Latvian sounds like. I need to turn this on.
If you don't join us for the Latvian, join us for the English.
My other set of eyes.
Kungs lai sveitī un sargā savu vaigu par tevi, lai apgaismo žēlastībā tevi pacēt. Upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. May his presence go before you and behind you
and beside you,
all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
Shall I stay by